hymn this morning. Let's grab our hymnals and we'll stand for hymn 67. Oh, sure, Val. Go right ahead.
Yeah, while I was on vacation, I had bought this Bible about a year ago, and I wanted to put the tabs in there.
Nice.
Because it's difficult with new Bibles to get to the page quickly. So while I was on vacation, the Lord gave me the opportunity. And I'm using my new page.
With the tabs. I love it.
So happy.
Praise the Lord. Nothing like a new, fresh Bible, you know, breaking it in.
Now we know if she's first on our speed checking the scriptures.
Oh, yeah, for sword drills, she's going to be a whiz with those tabs, boy. We may have to disqualify her. Well, praise the Lord. Folks, let's stand. I know someone else has got a new Bible this morning. Her name is Sydney.
Yeah.
A nice white one.
Wow.
King James Version. Praise the Lord. Let's open up to 67. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? All to Him I owe. First, third, and fourth, people. First, third, and fourth. Organ. Sounds good.
Hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He did, church. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. What a blessing to know that He has, in very deed, washed my sins white as snow by His precious blood. I love that fourth stanza. It says, and when before the throne I stand in Him complete. Amen? Oh, I love that. Listen, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips will still repeat. Through all of eternity, my lips will still repeat that. Oh, yes. Joyfully. Well, folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time. And open up this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23 for our message this morning. I was pondering all of the events of this week in Washington, D.C., and in New York, and in Pennsylvania.
and all of the wall, cover-to-cover news coverage of the events, you just couldn't escape it. There's nothing else on the news but this papal visit. And the Lord led me to chapter 23. How many of you believe that what Jesus Christ says is right?
Amen.
Yeah, everybody believes that. Amen? It's real important that when Jesus speaks and words in red, we pay attention. And here this morning, we have a most incredible passage that I want to bring to your attention concerning this week. Jesus, in Matthew 23, is 2 days from Calvary's cross. He knows the pain and the suffering that he will endure shortly. And yet, he's not thinking of himself, but he's thinking of you and I. Look with me in Matthew chapter 23. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning in Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In all therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 8 from my text this morning. We read, be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse 10, for one is your master, even Christ. I want to speak to you a sermon I've entitled, Our Great Master. Our great master. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that we've got the greatest master in all the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that no man is our master. No man is our rabbi. No man is our father. But God, the Son, the maker of all, he is Lord and master of our lives. How we thank you for that truth this morning, O God. And it seems like so few there be that find it in the world today. Lord, our hearts are burdened for so many billions of souls that are lost and dying without the Master today. And we pray, Lord God, that you would bless your word to our hearts today. Lord, give us by your Holy Spirit some deep understanding in this passage, that we might see this glorious master whom we serve for who he actually is. And Lord, I thank you that in the relationship of master, there is servants. We count it all joy to be the servants of the true master. We thank you for it, and we ask you to bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. One time long ago in Dublin, Ireland, there lived an Irish tramp. This woman of ill repute became a woman of God when she found the Savior and received complete pardon from all her sins. Amen. Her first desire was to lead others to her new master, Jesus Christ. So she said to one of her former clients, why do you go on serving your master the devil when the Son of God stands ready to forgive? The drunken man responded, because my master provides me all the delights of this world. Oh yes, said the woman, but my master provides for me eternal delights of endless joy and happiness above. The man scorned her and went his way. Beloved, in that story, we see that there are two masters that one can serve. Amen? The one master is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The other master is Satan, the devil, the wicked one. There's no middle ground in this mastership. It's one or the other. And I'm so glad that that gal found the right one. And she started telling others about him. I want to give you a few things this morning concerning our great master that might touch your heart in a special way today. The first one is this. Notice first the servant's relationship to the master. Look again at verse number 8 with me. At verse 8 we read, "But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your," what?
Master.
"Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Verse 10, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." Beloved, here we observe quite clearly that we are in a special relationship with the master, having entered into covenant with him. And that relationship is one of servanthood. Amen? He is the master, we are his servants. Now listen carefully. Look at verse 10 again, and notice the last seven words. "For one is your master, even Christ." Jesus says to his disciples, there's something you need to know. If you're going to be an effective servant for my kingdom, you need to know who's the boss. Amen? You need to know who the master is. You need to know who is Lord. Now, folks, a lot of this dominion theology today, they got it all wrong. They think that they're the master. They think that they can boss God around and demand new jet airplanes and new Rolls Royces and new boats, and that they want it now. That's called dominion theology and is wholly unscriptural. Don't listen to Copeland and his ugly bunch, okay? Jesus is the master. He says what you get. You don't tell him what you want. He says what you get. And I like that because he'll only give me what's good for me, amen? Something I might want may not be good for me. He'll deny that. Thank you, Lord. But folks, listen. The very first thing that you and I must understand is that our relationship to the great master is one where we have become his servants through redemption. Listen carefully. He has become our Lord and master after salvation occurred. Now, do you know what the word master means here in verse 8? Listen, the word master probably occurs about 220 times in the Bible. 220 times. But here is what we call an only occurrence. In Matthew 23, verse 8, listen, the Greek word here is kathagetes. Kathagetes. It appears here in verse 8 and then again in verse 10. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself used it. Now, these two occurrences of the Greek word kathagetes are the only ones in all the Bible as far as I can see. Now listen. Kathagetes is the Greek word that means a guide, a teacher, a ruler. Are you listening? That means that Jesus Christ is our great guide. He's our great teacher. He's our great ruler. Amen? That means that he has the right to guide our lives. He has the right to teach us what to do and what not to do. And he has the right to rule over every area of our lives. Why? He's the master. You don't argue with the master. You don't question the master. You simply obey what he orders. Amen? What he commands. Now, he's our master. We are his servants. I don't know about you, but I love this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I love being Jesus' servant. I love it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm so thankful that he allows me to serve him. What a privilege. Look at verse 21. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21. Speaking about getting saved. "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's" what?
Servant.
Servant. Paul says by the Holy Spirit here that you've been called to be his servant. You know what a servant does? It's not rocket science. He serves. He serves. You know what you need to do? You need to serve him like you've never served him before, church. You need to serve him. You need to pull out all the stops and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I am your servant. 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not servants of men. Listen, folks, I am so glad that this is a grace church. That means you are in bondage to no man. You are in bondage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am his bond slave. I am the prisoner, not of men, not of Nero, but of the Lord. Amen? That's no greater place to be than to be his servant. If I could only get the world to see this truth, the joy that comes from serving him, the peace, the blessing. We've got a new master. He says in verse 22, we're Christ's servant. Ooh, I like what D.L. Moody used to do. Whenever anyone asked D.L. Moody to go somewhere, he'd say, just a minute, I need to ask my boss if I can go. Well, well, who's your boss, preacher? They would ask him. Oh, my boss? That's my Lord and Master, God's dear son, he would reply. He said, I've got to ask permission from my master if I can go with you. I love that, man. Every decision you make, you need to ask the master's permission. Why? Because if he doesn't want you going there, it's story, no dice. Amen? Why? Because I'm a servant. The servant's relationship to the master is the first thing we must comprehend here. But there's something else. Notice the servant's motive. Look with me here in Matthew again. And flip back to chapter 22. Chapter 22, what is the servant's motive for serving the master? Oh, this is good. Don't miss this. Chapter 22 of Matthew, look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master. Now, this guy's calling Jesus Christ Master, but he doesn't mean it. You know, there's a lot of people like that in the world. They call him Lord. Jesus said, they call me Lord, but I'm not their Lord. See that? Verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what?
Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus says, you want to know what the greatest commandment in the whole Bible is? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. That's it, boys. The greatest commandment that you can obey is to love God with all you've got. Everything. Why? Because everything else will follow. Everything else will fall into place as you love him supremely and make him master of your life. They come to him and call him master. Jesus knows that he's not their master. They said, what do we do? What's a great commandment? Jesus says, you're supposed to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But they didn't. But he said, you're supposed to. Amen? Now, folks, this is incredibly important that you understand that love is the motive for the servants serving the Lord. It's love. That's the motive. You're not being paid to serve the Lord. You're not being bully whipped to serve the Lord. You're not having your arm twisted behind your back. Oh, I got to go to the college, girls. We got to go up there. No. You go because you love him supremely. Beloved, listen to me. Love for the master is the true motivating factor by which every servant of God joyfully continues on in service to the king. Because you love him, you keep coming and listening to this loudmouth preacher. Because you love him, you keep giving out those gospel tracts. Give them all out. Gospel tract. Because you love him, you study that Bible and you get on your knees and you pray and you witness and you serve God. It's not because of me. It's because you love Jesus Christ. That's the reason why you do everything you do. Know why I'm standing behind this pulpit this morning? Because I love him. You know why. I love him. And listen, folks. When you love him beyond what any words can describe, you'll be willing to do whatever he commands. Hear what I said? Listen carefully. I'm simply doing what he commanded me to do. What about you? Now, let me ask you a question today, church. Do you love your master so much that you would be willing to go anywhere he says
and do anything he asks? Think about that for a moment. I want to show you some people that would not do what he said because they did not love him. Look at verse 5 in chapter 23. Look at verse 5. Speaking of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious group. We saw a bunch of religious people this week. Look at verse 5. But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylactery. Sound familiar? Enlarge the borders of their garments. Sound familiar? And love the uppermost rooms at feasts. They love thrones. They sit in a throne. And they people bow down to them. Look at it. Verse 27. And greetings in the marketplace. And to be called of men, rabbi. They want to be something special in the eyes of men, but not the eyes of God. Now listen carefully. They love themselves too much. Hear what I said? Some Christians love themselves too much. And that's why they won't do what God's calling them to do. From the Guinness Book of World Records, between 1943 and 1993, that's 50 years, missionary Dr. M.C. Modi, one of the world's greatest eye surgeons, performed as many as 833 cataract operations per day. Listen, on the mission fields of India, in his 50 years of service to the king, Dr. Modi visited 46,123 villages. He treated 12,188,630 patients, and he performed a record 610,564 cataract surgeries. Throughout the land of India. And when asked why he did it all without receiving any compensation, Dr. Modi said, "My compensation is that I have been allowed to serve my great master all these years." He said, "That's my reward. I got to serve him all these years. I didn't do it for them, I did it for Jesus." Amen? Listen, folks, his motive for going to India was his love for the Savior. Period. It's why he did what he did. Folks, you've got to wrap your head around this truth. Everything you do in your life has to be based upon your love for Jesus Christ. When it is, everything will cycle properly. Because everything, he is the hub, and everything revolves around him. Amen? If it interferes with my love for him, I don't want anything to do with it. Get away from me. But something else you've got to see concerning this great master. Notice the servant's disposition toward the master. Back to our text. Notice the servant's disposition towards the master. Verse 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Jesus just put his finger right upon the disposition that he wants you and I to have. One of humility. Humble. Humble yourselves, James said, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Oh, folks, I'm so glad we've got a church full of people that believe that. How do I know that? Because you're all humble. You put others before yourself. That shows me how humble you are. That's putting Jesus first, others second, you last. You last. Now listen, beloved. Notice what the master himself says here in verse 12. He's saying, you need to be meek and humble and submissive if you want to be my servant. These people that have millions of people following them and adoring them and bowing down to them, that's not a servant of Christ. That if that person was a true servant of Christ, he'd get up and say, "Stand up! Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. He's something to behold."
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Listen, they're full of pride. Now, nowhere in the here in the appropriate disposition of every true servant of God is clearly given by the master. It's one of genuine humility. Did you know that you can appear to be humble when you're really not? You can put on a good act before others while all the time you're scheming and designing and figuring out how you can elevate and promote your own position and standing before men. Look at verse 12. Look at it. Jesus is saying that if you are truly humble, you will be seeking to elevate and promote the position and standing of others, not yourself. Amen? Listen, even if it means that you might be abased, you're going to look for the good, the well-being of others before yourself. That's a humble servant. When Augustine was once asked, what was the first of the Christian graces? He replied, humility. They asked him, what was the second? He said, humility. They said, well, what's the third? He said, humility. Then Augustine said this, I think that if we are truly humble, then we have all the graces of the Spirit. He's so right. If we're humble, that's the beginning point. Humility, being humble before God, and all the other graces pour in from the Holy Spirit because we have the right disposition. Now, it all starts with humbling ourselves before God and depending upon Him. Something else, though. Let us notice the servant's supply. Notice the servant's supply. Flip back to Matthew chapter 3 for a minute. In Matthew chapter 3, we find the servant's supply. Look at it. In Matthew 3, look with me at verse number 10. John Baptist is preaching up a storm. And it worked. They were shaking in their boots. What shall we do? Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He's the master. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Wow! He says, the master, when he shows up on the scene, he's going to give you something I could never give you. I can get you wet in the Jordan, but I can't give you the Spirit of God. He can. He's the master. And he is going to give you, listen now, he's going to give you a never-ending supply of strength to serve the King. Amen? You know what you need? You need a supply of strength. Daily. Yeah, you know, Carl, when you fill up the truck, does it last forever? Or you got to go back? Oh, you got to refill it. You got to refill your gas tank. I wonder why. Runs out of gas, right? You run out of spiritual gas and you need to be refilled. And I'm so glad that within you and within me, there is a never-ending supply of living water. It's the master's supply for his servants. It's not for everybody. It's for his servants. Amen? Now, here's the good news. That is, that every single servant of the great master does indeed receive a never-ending supply of living water. And this heavenly supply provides a number of things for us. First, it prevents us from getting thirsty. That makes sense. This living water prevents us from getting thirsty. That means wanting the wrong things. You know what that laborer in the field working in the heat of the day needs more than anything else? He needs water. You know why? Dehydration will set in. I'm afraid, beloved, that spiritual dehydration has set in so many of our churches today. Christians have, we have an anemic Laodicean church today. Where's the power? Where's the supply of God's Spirit? Man, it's unbelievable what's happening. Churches are closing up doors, falling like dominoes. This is the number one problem of the church today. They're lacking the supply of the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it provides us with healthy, nutritious food. Amen. This living water, the Holy Spirit within, supplies us with healthy, nutritious food. You want to be healthy spiritually? You want, you know, physical health is important. If you want to serve God, if you want to get anything done, you got to be able to walk and stuff. But spiritual health is so much more important. And He feeds us well-balanced meals daily. Amen. From His Word. Amen. I'm so glad that it's got the meat that my soul needs to keep on going for Jesus Christ. His word feeds our souls. It satisfies our appetite. Thirdly, this supply, it teaches us how to serve our master in wisdom and understanding. Amen? The supply, which is the Holy Spirit, teaches us how to serve him. Isn't that good? I'm not, you know, very bright, as you can tell. But you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is able to instruct me. That dumb Bob Oliver is able to get some things done by the Spirit of God, not by Bob Oliver. Amen? Oh, you've got to grab hold of this truth. A Christian poet once wrote, "This the secret of the holy. Not our holiness, but his. Jesus, empty us and fill us with thy fullness to the brim." That's a good poem. That's exactly what the master does for his servants. He empties us of self and fills us to overflowing with his precious spirit. Then we'll get something done for God. Amen? Too many Christians today are trying to do it in the flesh. And they get burnt out and they end up dropping out of the race completely. Why? They're not depending upon the power supply of the Holy Spirit. It's a heavenly supply from our master. But something else concerning our great master. Quickly, observe the servant's encouragement from the master. Look back in verse 12 again. And notice the servant's encouragement from the master. Matthew 23, look at verse 12. Jesus says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Wow! Did you catch that? As servants of the master, we are his property. We are called to labor in his fields, to reap his harvest, using his means and enjoying his very presence and help with us. But notice his encouraging promise. The last three words of verse 12, shall be exalted. Who is speaking in verse 12? Oh yeah, Jesus Christ, the one who cannot lie, the one who is faithful and true. And he says, you're going to be exalted one day. I am going to promote you to a place of honor in my kingdom. Why? Because you're serving him. Just because you're serving him. That's it. Why? Because he encourages his servants. You know what will keep you going in the battle? A word of encouragement. A word of encouragement. You know what I need? Every day, a word of encouragement. I get it from him. Because he knows how to encourage Bob Oliver when he's down in the dumps, when he's going through a trial, when he's not feeling right. He comes along and taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, bud, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may boldly say, I am your helper. You will not fear what man shall do." Yeah, yeah. "Hey, bud, remember me? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come for you again." See, be where I am. He has a word of encouragement for you, church. No matter what you're going through, Jesus says, cheer up, you shall be exalted. Why? Because you're a servant. Because you're his servant, he will exalt you. I am so thankful for that. Now, look at the next verse. Look at verse 13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Notice the contrast between verse 12, servants being exalted by the king, and that religious crowd in verse 13. Woe. Woe. Why? Why is he going to abase them and bring them down? "Because ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Jesus says, you're going to receive great damnation. Because not only will you not receive me as your master, but you prevent others from receiving me as their master. Whoa! I wouldn't want to be in their shoes on the day of judgment. How blessed are we, beloved, that our master puts his own loving arm around us and says, keep on going, my faithful servant. I will ensure that you finish your course. Fear not, for I am with thee. One day, I will exalt thee. I'm going to lift you up to a place where you've never dreamt of being. It's coming, church. It's coming. You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is Feast of Tabernacles. Tomorrow is the fourth blood-red moon. Tomorrow, there's an eclipse. Tomorrow, all these things are converging. I don't know if we'll get raptured tomorrow. No man knows the day nor the hour. But I know one thing. I'm closer today than I was yesterday.
Amen.
We're going to be exalted. We're going to be lifted up. He's going to promote you if you serve him. If you serve him. Now, Henry Ford is known as the most successful automaker in history. But you know that church van we got out there? It's Ford. Ford. Listen, what most people don't know about Henry Ford is that when Henry was 20 years old, he almost gave up all his dreams of making cars after being terribly discouraged by so-called experts. Young Henry Ford met an elderly inventor whose name was Thomas Edison. Strong, born-again Christian. The godly Edison encouraged Henry to keep on trying and not to quit. History tells the rest of the story. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, strong Christian, he put his arm around Henry Ford and he said, "Hey, keep on going. I don't invent something every day. But once in a while, a light bulb comes along, you know. He's saying, don't quit. Keep on going. Folks, listen to me. Jesus is saying to you this morning, don't quit. Keep on going. He's putting his arm around you during the service. And he's saying, come on, let's keep winning them. Let's keep telling them. Let's keep loving them to me. And one day, I'll exalt you. I'll exalt you beyond your wildest dreams. But it's one last thing you need to see and I'll be done. Finally, we need to see the servant's reward. What is the servant's reward? Go to chapter 25. Flip over a page, you'll be there. In chapter 25, oh, don't miss me now. The servant's reward is not what you might think. Look at verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful what?
Servant.
Servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what?
Joy.
I hope somebody's listening this morning. Because your reward is not a gold mansion. Your reward is not a pearly gate. Your reward is not the angels of Moses or Abraham. Your reward is the eternal joy of the Lord, your master. Folks, listen to me. There is nothing, nothing that can cheer your heart like the joy of Jesus Christ. I see smiles and tears here this morning because you know it's true. His joy is what makes living worth living. Amen? I mean, listen, dearly beloved. Listen carefully in closing. We do not serve the master in order to be rewarded with crowns or riches or mansions or anything like that. Listen, we serve our great master for one simple reason. It's because we truly desire, listen to me, we truly desire more than anything else in the universe to spend all of eternity bowing before his majesty and worshiping his glory. And that, beloved, is the joy of thy Lord, which every one of us do count as our eternal reward. Our eternal reward for serving him now is his joy unspeakable and full of glory forever. Think about it. That's your reward. You know, folks, I've got loved ones that have died and passed on and gone to heaven. I can't wait to see them. But, folks, there's one I want to see first. I want to see Jesus! The one who died for me, the song says. I want to see him. Amen? Everything else is secondary. I love you guys, but I want my Jesus. Now, concerning our great master, we see our relationship to him. He's the master. We're his servants. Concerning our great master, we see our motive for serving him. We love him, so we serve him. We see our disposition before him. Humility, being humble. We see our supply from him. The Holy Spirit of God. We see our encouragement from him. He will exalt us in due time. And finally, we see our great reward. The joy of the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. that we do now enjoy. I'm so glad that I don't have to wait to get up to glory to enjoy the joy of the Lord. It's my strength today and forevermore. Lord, I'm so thankful that a true Christian has figured this thing out. We understand by the Spirit of God within that our eternal reward is the glory of your everlasting joy. Lord, nothing else in eternity will ever compare to that joy of Jesus Christ. And it's ours. It's ours now, and it's ours forever. Because we are His servants. He is our master. We thank you for it, Lord, and in this time of invitation, I pray that you would speak to hearts in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals this morning and we'll stand for a brief invitation. If you need to do any business with the Lord, the altar is open. As we open up to hymn 13, I might ask in closing, how's your servanthood? How's your servanthood? That's the question today, because folks, why am I preaching this message? It has to do with there being no time left. I'm not joking, church. I've never felt it in my bones like I do today. He's coming. The trumpet's about to blow. Amen. My advice, pull out every stock and say, Lord, I surrender all. We sang it this morning. Do we do it? I surrender all. I want to be your servant 100%. I don't want any part of me lacking. And if there's some area in your life that you need to surrender to the Master, we can do so during this time of invitation. Hymn 13, folks. Hymn 13. All four. Sing it like you mean it. Yes, Lord.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the
Lord, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, no one looking around. I thank you this morning for your believing people in church. I can see everyone here is saved. They're born again. They love Jesus Christ. They've made you master of their lives. But Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts at this time. If there might be anything at all in our lives that might be amiss, anything at all that has not been surrendered, anything at all that has not been given up to the King, as a faithful servant, by an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. So I see that hand. Hands up all over. Put them down. Put them down. Almost everyone's hand is up. My hand's up. Lord, we thank you that at this time of this invitation, we are surrendering those areas of our lives that might be not totally surrendered to thee. Why, Lord? It's because we want to be those servants that hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, one day. Lord, at this time, as we sing on the next stanza, we surrender all to thee. Oh Lord, the devil hates this message, but that's too bad, because Jesus Christ is master of our lives, and he deserves first place, priority number one, in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing it on the second.
Seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace. every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial globe.
Imagine
to him all majesty ascribe.
Can't wait for that day. Praise the Lord. And we'll have Brother Dave dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, tonight at 6, we're starting a brand new series tonight. It has to do with the doctrine of immortality. It's from the Bible. I think you'll like it.
Father, we thank you for this great word that you've given us. And we thank you for the pastors that we just ask you to keep guiding us. Use this video ministry that we are starting to further your word and bring more people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.